And obviously in those days, Ascension Day seemed to be a lot more important than it seems to be today. Spoken about a lot. And yet I can never remember, actually, ever in the service that we went to, anybody preaching a sermon. Can you?
No.
It was just a service. When I got to be ordained, Ascension Day almost felt as though it was an excuse for all the priests in the area from the high church tradition to get together and dress up and have a high mass. But I can't remember anybody preaching then. And so when it came to sort of thinking about today, I was sort of rather thinking, actually, I haven't got anything that I can dig up from the past. I mean, obviously, I've preached about the Ascension since, but I was just thinking backwards in time. So I thought I'd better do a bit of research. I have to say, I can understand why the people didn't want to preach a sermon about the Ascension. Most of the things that we have in our faith are jolly good things that you could preach about, because people can imagine things that are involved. But the Ascension is really a little bit more difficult, because I suppose what we would really say is it's a lot more deeply theological than it is about the other ideas that Jesus shared with people. We've just heard today from Acts of the Apostles the main story of the Ascension, and in the Gospel where that is also mentioned about him ascending. There are other bits in the Bible which allude to it rather than talk about it. In Mark, the longer ending of Mark, you know, the two bits that Mark's Gospel either ends at verse 8 or verse 16. That's another story. But in the longer bit, it does allude to the Ascension. It talks about after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And then there's John, when Jesus tells Mary Magdalene, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. But again, it's not the actual event of the Ascension. Or in Ephesians, 1 Timothy as well, Hebrews, they're all referring to Jesus having ascended and being exalted. In the early church, it's pretty clear that the idea that comes from the Ascension is that Jesus isn't just leaving. He is assuming the role that he always had through time to the point when he became incarnate. In other words, he's going to be at the right hand of God. And it's said in the readings today about Jesus fulfilling the scriptures, the Psalms, where in Psalm 110 it talks about the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. So all of that idea about Jesus being there in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. In addition to that, also, this is part of the whole process which ends up in the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit in that season that we celebrate as Pentecost. Not surprisingly, therefore, because you see, it's a little bit vague, isn't it? You know, there's not something to grab hold of. I mean, if you take, for example, the Jesus on the cross, you know, that's a clear event. Or the stone rolling away. We were just looking at the book when it's on there, who moved the stone. Or the healings, or all those other things that Jesus did, you know, there are things that people could say, yeah, I understand that. That's clear to me. But the Ascension, not quite so. Irenaeus in the second century used the idea of the Ascension as actually really about the uniting of humanity with God, and extended that to the idea that that's for us too. That part of the faith is because of the event of Jesus and the Ascension, that we can be united with God, and that's another expression of the resurrection, or origin in the 3rd century, much more mystical, in fact. I don't do very well with mystic stuff, but much more mystical. He sees it as a pattern for the future glorification of humanity, or St. Augustine in the 4th, 5th century saw the Ascension as the culmination of all that Jesus did. There's the Passion, there's the Resurrection, and the Ascension, and they are all united, and it's through that that the Holy Spirit is released. So the early church saw the Ascension as something about exaltation, Christ's exaltation, but also our own exaltation because of what Christ has done for us. And that gives to anybody who is baptized into Christ, has taken on the new life of Christ, a special kind of dignity. There's the animal side to our natures, there's a spiritual side to our nature. Those of us who live in the light of the Spirit have a special kind of dignity. And obviously Jesus promises in the scriptures that we've shared today the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that in its own way produces hope. It produces hope because, as it says in Acts, that Jesus will return in the same way. And the early church lived in the expectation of Jesus coming far more than we do, really. And of course it then gets written into the creeds. It gets written into the Apostles' Creed. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. And the Nicene Creed, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And they're all about the centrality of this idea of the Ascension of Jesus. It has consequences. My consequences, that's what I worked out to say to you today, but I'm going to add something to it in a moment, is that when we talk about Jesus being Lord, he's Lord over everything. It's just a declaration. The Ascension is a declaration that evil doesn't have the final word. That might seem a little bit hard to grasp sometimes. The idea that Christ rules over politics and power and history, even the President of the United States, all of that is part of this idea that Jesus is Lord over everything. It's also about God being with us. The disciples were standing there and looking up into heaven, and the angels come and say, "Why are you looking up into heaven?" Because actually, this isn't about God disappearing from us. It's about God being with us, but in a different way. Not absent, universally accessible through the Spirit. You don't have to go to Jerusalem anymore to actually be a part of this. It is global, and that follows from that as well. It follows that human nature is glorified, but we touched on that. St. Athenaeus said, "The Son of God became man so that we might become God." And all of that means, and this is what we celebrate all the time when we celebrate the Eucharist, we are part of the body of Christ. He ascended and entrusted his ongoing mission to his followers. The church is now his body on earth. We are his hands, his feet, his voice in the world. It's not the end, it's the beginning of our vocation. And we're empowered and we're sent. And again, that really feels to me like it's about hope, that we live in hope and not fear. The story isn't over. History is headed somewhere and headed in a meaningful direction. And justice will be restored. And the resurrection is the guarantee of his return. I said I'd add a little bit at the end because Lucy Winkick was on Thought for the Day. Did anybody hear that today? I thought it was really quite extraordinary. much better than I've just said to you. That what she said was that when she was a little baby, her mother held her up to the window so that she could look at the moon, because Neil Armstrong was walking on the moon. She then went on from there to say, why is Tanji gazing up into heaven? And she then went on to say that these days, people are not really going to be turned on by the idea that you're, like medieval idea that up there, there's Jesus on the throne with all the angels round him. That doesn't work anymore, she said. But when you do stand looking up into heaven, what you're conscious of is the atmosphere. And she said that the atmosphere, of course, at the moment, we all know, is full of carbon dioxide, and the world is scheduled for a 2% rise in temperature. And she said, but what the ascension is all about is when the people said, why stand ye looking up into heaven? It was a prompt to the disciples, actually, to look back on the earth again and take up their responsibilities. And I thought to myself, that's a pretty clever idea. So I'll leave you with that one rather than what I said, because it's much better.